Philadelphia Story. This is dedicated to Captain Reggie Shell. Philadelphia, with its vast black population, was a rich recruitment pool and a responsive propagation ground for the Black Panther Party. We were gifted with a smart, level-headed defense captain, Reggie Shell, and the over-the-top presence of the late Frank Rizzo as a political adversary. Most of the members were high school graduate age, with a smattering of military veterans among the officers and senior staff. Rizzo, as police commissioner in the 1970s, and later mayor of the city, was an ambitious politician who was not above directly appealing to white ethnics for his repressive tactics against black citizens. In one of his mayoral campaigns, he urged his supporters to, quote, vote white, unquote. Members of the party could always count on Rizzo to do or say something provocative which would rebound to the organization's benefit. In the fall of 1970, the Revolutionary People's Constitutional Convention was planned for Philadelphia, and thousands of radicals and revolutionaries were expected to attend. This was supposed to be the party's clarion call to all radical people to converge in a convention to write a new egalitarian, liberational constitution for a new revolutionary America. Several days before the event, a group of young blacks, not Panthers, engaged in a deadly shootout with members of the Philadelphia Park Police, and Rizzo seized on this event to justify an unprovoked series of raids against local offices of the Black Panther Party. The pre-dawn raids were Rizzo's attempt to destabilize and humiliate the Panthers, as well as to derail the imminent convention. Captain Reggie recalls, "About 5 o'clock that morning, I was asleep, and somebody woke me up. We used to pull guard duty in the Panthers anyway, and said, 'They're here.' I looked out the window, and they're lined up across the street with submachine guns, shotguns. They're in the alley. I saw the head man clearly. He had a pistol and a gas mask strapped to his leg. He was bending down, and then all hell broke loose. Finally, we had children in there, and the gas got to them too much, so we had to come out. Each cop took an individual Panther and placed their pistol up the back of our neck and told us to walk down the street backward. They told us if we stumble or fall, they're going to kill us. Then they lined us up against the wall, and a cop with a 45 caliber sub would fire over our heads so that the bricks started falling down. Most of us had been in bed, and they just ripped the goddamn clothes off everybody, women and men. They had the gun. They just snatched your pants down, and they took pictures of us like that. Then they put us in a wagon and took us down to the police station. We were handcuffed and running down this little driveway. When we got to the other end of it, a cop would come by with a stick, and he'd punch us, beat us. Some of us were bleeding. I know I was bleeding, but really, I thought it would be a whole lot worse." Rizzo had his photo op, embarrassed, naked Panthers, but it had the opposite effect it intended. Support was wide and broad, the fruit of anger and outrage elicited by the publication of the photos in the media. Community groups protested, and some sued the city for their sanctioning of police tactics against black Philadelphians. Progressive attorneys organized legal defense and bail hearings for the imprisoned Panthers, some of whom were held under $100,000 bail each. On September 4, 1970, the registration for the convention opened, and over 6,000 people came from around the city and the nation, but that is a story for another time. One local observer, the late Reverend Paul Washington, found the Philadelphia Panthers were essentially a nonviolent movement. He came to know, respect, and admire Philadelphia's defense captain, Reggie Shell, for his sincerity and his down-to-earth style. You've been listening to an excerpt from We Want Freedom. This is its author, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.